Connection on this Monday morning, the day before the primary election, as we welcome in one of the earliest voices we spoke with on this congressional race for District 1, and I believe the last race, one that I'll talk to in this particular race, Andy Coleman. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Charlie, it's good to be with you. Thanks.
And as we try to put some bookends on what we've been talking about for, I haven't counted it up, more or less 18 months on this thing.
Yep.
You have been busy quietly trying to get your name out. You've had several high-power guests in and around the area saying this is a guy that we need to respect. And we've been talking about your background, an Air Force Academy graduate, mm-hmm. moving on in a career.
Yeah, that's right. We have been very busy for a long time. It seems surreal that it's coming to a head tomorrow on Election Day. That's Tuesday. And we've just been doing everything we can to help the families here in Bartlesville and across the district get a sense of who we are, where we land on the issues, what my background is, and why I feel uniquely equipped to represent the families here. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's tough to run for these races, but we've really enjoyed it, met some wonderful people, and we're very pleased with where we stand right now, and we're excited to see what happens tomorrow.
Well, I think every candidate, in one sense, has a right to feel good. I can't think of anyone that I have talked to on this microphone that I think have not run a good race. We'll see where it goes from here.
That's right. Well, and you've had an interesting seat in all of this. You met me right out of the gate when I first announced, and you've just been able to observe how things have continued along, and I couldn't have scripted it. I couldn't have choreographed it. Like you mentioned, some of the people that have come in to help out, Congressman Jim Jordan, Attorney General Ed Meese from the Reagan administration. If you were to tell me during our very first radio interview that all of that was going to happen, I wouldn't have believed it. But we're very grateful for the support we've received.
And because of the Ed Meese appearance was here at the Bartlesville Public Library, you had a good turnout for as early in the campaign as it was. Mm-hmm. At the time, I think you were much more focused on the possibility of a early special election to fill a seat. But now we're just talking about the regular November election.
That's right. It's been an interesting race. We didn't know what we were in, a special or a normal election cycle. I joke that the motto of the Coleman campaign has been Semper Gumby. We're always going to flex. So
I like that.
But it's been really good.
For those that have had their head hidden and really are just now doing their homework, and I'm sure there are a lot, mm-hmm. Just because primary elections, to a certain extent, people don't frequently wake up till you pick the number 10 days out. Mm-hmm. We've talked about your background, again, an Air Force Academy graduate, then working, by the way, militarily in the Middle East.
That's right.
And then moving on to Voice of the Martyrs and some other things as well.
So my background has been very unique. I have a lot of skill sets, an interesting background that I believe lends itself very well to a federal position. Like you mentioned, I graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy. I served as a military intelligence officer with the Air Force, later with the Army in Baghdad. I'm a veteran of Iraq. I've served with, you know, in leadership roles with conservative policy organizations, groups like the Christian Legal Society, the Federalist Society, the Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm not new to the policy bloc. These are groups that stand up for our Constitution, the principles of limited government, the free market, the sanctity of life. As a Republican, these are near and dear issues to me. So I point that out, that this is not new to me. I'm not trying to figure which way is up or down on policy. And I served as the Middle East Regional Director for the Voice of the Martyrs right here in Bartlesville. If anybody's not aware, they are a Christian ministry that stands in the gap for persecuted Christians in really tough countries around the world. I ran their efforts from Egypt to Pakistan, so you can imagine the neighborhoods I played in. But when I talk about that background, I'm the only military veteran in this race, mm-hmm. and I think we need more veterans in those seats to champion our veterans, but also to champion our current military families who are going through so much, and also our armed forces. The only candidate with national security experience, as a former intelligence officer, that experience is deep. The only candidate with experience in the Muslim world, the Arab world, the Persian world. I don't say that because you or I need to be afraid of it, but my goodness, we do need more leaders that have the cross-cultural background to make good calls on our behalf. And I'm the only candidate in this race that's leading by example on term limits. I believe career politicians are hurting our country. And what I have said from the day I announced is I will go and I will fight. I will sweat. I will work very hard for the families of Oklahoma's 1st District. For them, not my own career path, but I'm only doing it for 4 terms. That's 8 years, enough time to move the football down the field in a healthy direction, not long enough that I become a careerist myself.
And I've heard this from people who hold elected office, regardless of the office, a state representative to Congress. It appears it takes 1 term to really know the job, and then in that 2nd term, you feel confident to move forward and actually, I'll say, lead the way.
That's absolutely right. But I would also go further and say that I feel that my background lends itself to me being ready to go from day one. When I was at the Air Force Academy, I majored in political science and a hybrid of national security and international relations. I've observed politics, politicians, governments, failed states for more than 2 decades. I've seen a lot of cautionary tales. I've seen a few do it right. Where they went, they represented the communities that sent them well. They retained their integrity. They retained their testimony. And so I'm trying to apply the lessons that I've observed through their cases. And I'll point this out. Some of your listeners may not be aware, but if we're successful tomorrow and we go into the general in November and we're elected, because that's a vacant seat, this is Jim Bridenstine's old seat. It's empty right now. But I would be seated in November. We wouldn't wait till the rest of the freshman class in January. That gives me a little bit more time to get seniority over the incoming freshman class and also get my feet on the ground and just get adept.
Well, and the House frequently during that lame duck session is, I'll say, a little freer to actually get something done.
Yep, that's right. And that's what I'm doing. I love the idea of the citizen legislator rather than the career politician for many reasons. But one of them is the sense of urgency. I'm going in with a sense of urgency. I cannot be complacent. I cannot give myself a decade to get comfortable and figure out which way is this or that. I have to go in. I have to know what I'm doing, and I have to punch above my weight. That is what I will do.
Those 3 words, sense of urgency, I've heard those so many times in preparation for an exercise or the real thing in military service. Earlier you mentioned something about representing your district, and, mm-hmm. and the drawing the conclusions that I have heard from you over 18 months. Is it a fair statement for me to say that, yes, while you are interested in input from the citizens and you want to make sure you're hearing what people are saying, this is not a job that you're going into with your finger in the air, so to speak?
That's right. I've never been able to do that. Even when I decided to run for this race, I couldn't lick my thumb and stick it in the political winds because I was working in that difficult, dangerous job with Voice of the Martyrs, a quiet job, a clandestine job. I just had to make the right call, and I felt like I got my marching orders right, and I stepped in. That's what we've done, and like I said, a lot's gone in our favor. But yeah, what I have tried to do over this campaign is be an open book. I've tried to be very clear on where I stand, how I view things, how I'm going to render decisions on behalf of those that sent me. We have a lot of information like that on our website, andycoleman.org. That's Coleman like the camping gear, or Coleman like the cooler, the lantern, whatever helps that name stick. I've just tried to be very transparent and give people the opportunity to see who I am and how I would conduct myself in that seat.
Transparency is something that a lot of politicians speak but not always accomplish. How mm-hmm. What means have you already set up to follow through on that promise of transparency?
Well, I try to hold myself accountable and allow myself to be held accountable by others. If you go back and you look at the last year and a half of what I've said, the message that I've conveyed, those that have endorsed me, the type of support that I'm generating, it's been consistent. Also, if you look at my backgrounds, I have time and time and time again backed up what I said I believe with action. A lot of that was extremely risky action. Working in countries like Iran and Afghanistan and Lebanon to stand up for what I believe in, I backed it up there. I backed it up as a military veteran. I attended the Air Force Academy, where we honor the themes of service before self, integrity in all that we do, and excellence in all we do, and integrity first. These are the themes that have resonated with me for a couple decades. It's the stands that I've taken. It's the stands I'm going to continue to take.
We're talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman, and we will continue coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And we continue our time talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. And looking just at recent congressional events, a couple of bills, one voted, one postponed, I think, until this week on immigration and along with that border security. And one of the votes that did not pass was fully funding the wall. Let's talk immigration just for a minute. It's related to everything we've already yes. talked about. This is certainly a controversial matter, but let's talk first of all about families that cross the border illegally.
Yeah, so you're right. This is a hot button issue right now, but it's one that we have to weigh in on. It's one that we have to get right. For me, what I have spoken about time and again is the need to restore the rule of law to our immigration policies. In my opinion, they've been lawless for decades, and we're seeing the results of that now. I believe in drawing a firm line. I do believe in fully funding and building that wall, securing our borders, ending the state of so-called sanctuary cities, you know, reining in the incentives in the interior that incentivize illegal immigration. There's a lot of things that have to take place, and that's where I draw the line.
Do we find ourselves now in a situation partly because the Congress has not taken upon itself the chance to speak on this issue, and we have lived by executive orders rather than bills passed through traditional means?
You have that, but I also think you're seeing gridlock because there are some that, for example, with President Trump, I fully support President Trump's efforts to restore that rule of law to immigration, but I think there's many in the House, many in the Senate, that are very content to not provide any solutions. They're happy to chime in and snipe from the sidelines and to just tear down President Trump and, in my opinion, tear down the security and the law and order of our country. So we have to go in eyes wide open, know that those challenges are there, and still be able to get things done. That's what I think is going on.
Speaking of getting things done, we have passed a budget in regular order, I believe, four times since 1974. It is the House's responsibility. Money bills originate in the House. Yep. I know occasionally the Senate has said, well, we're going to start the process and then let the House catch up. But as a prospective member of the House, getting the budget right has to be a priority.
It has to be done. The Congress has the power of the purse. That's the cardinal power that they hold. And like you just said, time and again, they have relinquished or just failed to deliver on that. I believe the last time that they did pass that budget was in the mid-1990s. So if we have to step back, we have to get this working again. I would be honored to be a part of the team that does that. If we have to review the way budgets are passed, let's look at those systematic reforms. But we've got to get it back up and running and online. What's going on right now, passing omnibus bills, continuing resolutions, that day has come, and it's been a bad day. We need to move on in a healthy direction.
With your military background, we look at the state of Oklahoma, the depot at McAllister, obviously Tinker, Vance, Altus, Fort Sill. We are a military-heavy state, particularly for our acreage and population. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Texas has a lot more, but per capita, Oklahoma figures pretty high in military affairs. Oklahoma City, last I saw, number one as best places for military retirees in the country. Mm-hmm. Do you see that background being one of the few members of the House that would have military experience as a plus for you?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I'd be very, very excited to serve on the House Armed Services Committee. You're right. We're a great state. Oklahoma's 1st District is a great district for the military. We love our veterans. We fall all over ourselves trying to support our veterans and to be able to champion those causes and to, you know, I love the footprint we have. I'd like to see that footprint expanded, again, to be a part of the team that does that. Also, by serving on the House Armed Services Committee, I think that whether, you know, the Republicans stay in the majority or something happens and the House does flip, I think on that committee, in that role, we'll still be able to get a lot done on behalf of the district, which is one of the reasons why I'm so excited to use my background as a veteran in that role.
Your background with Voice of the Martyrs certainly would not be ignored. There are issues of conscience that come before the House on a regular basis as well.
Absolutely. To use my voice for the voiceless, whether that's those that are persecuted overseas or just standing up for our religious liberty rights right here in America, it's something I've done. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I would be honored to serve in that capacity.
Campaigns are always a family campaign. And
boy, they are.
I have seen your wife on the campaign trail, not recently just because we haven't been in the right places, but I know it has been the family standing beside the candidate.
Well, my wife, Liz, has just been a rock star. In fact, we were out knocking on doors yesterday, and it was blustery, it was raining, but she was still out there. We married right out of the Air Force Academy, so whether I was being deployed into war zones with the military or whether I was deploying into war zones with Voice of the Martyrs in these dangerous countries to help out persecuted Christians, she even joined me on some of those trips. Liz has been with me in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Jordan, helping out, especially with the women that are going through some hard times over there. She's been fantastic. I couldn't have done what I have done on this race without her help. Even my kiddos, I have three precious kiddos, have weighed in to do their part. It has been a family effort, and I am profoundly blessed to have them by my side.
Well, we're down to about a minute and a half here, Andy. Again, we've had several high-power spokespeople in town and across the district advocating on your behalf, but this is the final opportunity for the candidate to get a yes. message out. What's going on?
I'm profoundly grateful for every ounce of support from those that have boosted my campaign, whether it was Senator Rick Santorum, Congressman Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, the Combat Veterans for Congress, Dr. Piper. But you're right. My race comes down to Oklahomans just turning out to vote. That's tomorrow. And I just hope that what I've described, if that's the kind of representation you want for your families, your businesses, and your communities, then I would ask for your votes. That's Andy Coleman, and I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to share this morning.
Well, one final thing. There is going to be, I believe, nearly 100% chance of a runoff.
Yep.
At this point in time, there are probably a few people out there that said, I have a first-choice preference.
Yep.
But if that first-choice preference is not successful, then what?
That's right. Well, I'm asking here and now to be your second pick. I think we are going to go into a runoff August 28th. And if I haven't been your first pick for whatever reason, please know that I'd be honored to be your second pick. And I'd be happy to have any conversations with people that have questions or issues. Find out more at andycoleman.org. You can reach out to us through there or on our Facebook page at andycoleman4OK. And that's the number 4.
Andy, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
this culminates nearly a year and a half worth of time on this program, and
yep.
Thank you so much for your dedication and coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
It is Election Day tomorrow. The polls will be open 7 till 7, and then keep it right here on AM 1400 as we hear your vote count. 8:55 on a Monday morning. News next from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. A fatal drive-by shooting.